Happy Wednesday, everybody. Thank you so much for downloading or streaming the Be Our Guest podcast. We are glad you are here. We're getting ready to answer some of your listener questions, including a great question from Christina. She's from Massachusetts, about hanging out at Disney Springs for the evening and a transition between Universal and her Disney trip. She's got kids 6, 7, 8, 11, and 15. How to keep them entertained, what to do at Disney Springs. Here are our thoughts and much more. First, a word from our sponsors. That includes our friends over at virtualmickey.com, home of great iPhone apps like Days to Go, WDW. Days to Go lets you count on the days until that next Walt Disney World vacation with style. Right now, I'm down to 46 days to go until this possible quick little getaway to Walt Disney World. Don't know if it's going to happen, but either way, you know me. I'm counting down to this possible trip with my great app right there on my iPhone 7. Days to Go WDW gives me awesome pictures. I get to customize the text. It's in cardinal red right now because baseball is back. I pick the font. I even still get that audio alert every day at 2:05, even though the kids aren't with me anymore. That used to be the time the kids left every day, but hey, it lets me know that I'm one day closer to my favorite place. You can do the same. Check out all these great Disney apps to turn your Apple device into a Disney device today. They're over at virtualmickey.com. Don't forget, the easiest way to support the show is just to do your online shopping over at Amazon. And when you do, click through our Amazon affiliate link at beourguestpodcast.com/Amazon. It really does help support the show, even if it's a small purchase. They all kind of combine together to help pay for the bandwidth, the hosting, and more. So please, next time you do that online shopping over at Amazon, consider using our Amazon affiliate link at beourguestpodcast.com/Amazon.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1294 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and one of the senior agents over at the Magic for Less Travel. Happy Wednesday to you. Thanks a lot for joining us. We're so glad that you are here. We are here to answer your listener questions. So keep sending those in to Mike at BeOurGuestPodcast.com and we'll get to those right away. So the ladies are here to help me answer these questions. We're going to have a good time talking Disney today. Joining us from DisneyWorldAfterAll.com, TouringPlans.com, and The Mouse for Less, we have Ricky, who's down at Walt Disney World this weekend coming up. What's going on, Ricky? So jealous.
Yeah, although you may not be jealous, because while I am going to Orlando, I'm probably spending more time at Universal this trip. So I said a bad word. I know. But I do plan on catching the Flower and Garden Festival, so for sure. So, because that kicks off this weekend, but actually kicks off today. I'm going to be doing probably a lot of Universal stuff. So I'm kind of excited about it. Yeah, we're staying at Cabana Bay and it'll be nice. Cool. All right. Well, I'm excited.
Blocking you right now on my social media.
Yeah, so no worries. That's fine. I figured you would be.
Hey, big shout out to your dad, because we've spent many a wedding reception together over the years, which sounds kind of weird, but I was scratching the tunes and he was taking the shots. So a little click clicky and a little scratchy Rick and Mike at the weddings in St. Louis.
Yep, we're celebrating a big birthday for my dad this weekend, so that's why I'm going down. Good exciting stuff.
All right, you know, you don't have to take him to Universal. You could actually go to the big place and go to Disney if you want.
Preferred Universal.
I'm just playing. I'm just messing with you. That's my thing. I got to do that. It's like my
shtick. I know. I think my dad prefers Universal, according to my mom. So I know. I'm sacrilegious, right?
What's up, Rick? Anyway, also joining us, we have the co-owner of the Magic for Less Travel, Pam Forrester, who is also going to be down at Walt Disney World this weekend. I am the lone one who's staying back in the north. What's wrong with me? What's up, Pam? You're lucky too.
I know. I'm so excited. I actually am going down for the start of Flower and Garden, which starts this week. So I'm so looking forward to that. It actually starts today, right? And I'm looking forward to just kind of seeing what's going to be there this year. They've added some new foods, which of course are interesting. Those food booths, of course, have become the big draw. It's like we used to say food and wine light. I'm not even sure it's light anymore. It's like almost as many booths as food and wine. Not quite as many, but almost as many booths. And then all of those flowers and displays everywhere. You think Epcot looks good on a regular day? Wait till you see it till Flower and Garden. So anyways, I'm just saying, This is one of my favorite times to actually be there. I don't think Flower and Garden is quite as busy as Food and Wine is, and it just is so much fun. You get to do kind of the same stuff. Plus, Epcot looks like it's like decked out for the ball. So, love this. Love it.
All right. Well, you guys have fun. I'll keep the fires burning here back home. How's that sound? We'll figure something out. We'll make sure everything's taken care of back here at home. All right. Before we get to the questions, three shout outs. First of all, big shout out to all the lizards who ran Princess last weekend. I want to thank everybody for taking the time to share all the great pictures and the great memories before races, during races, after races, meetups. You guys did great. Now, I wish I could have been there to run these races because that's a great time to run down there. And it looked like you had pretty good weather for this race weekend, which is always one of the big factors at Disney. So I love seeing the bling. The medals were awesome. The costumes were great. And I know it takes some time to post those pictures to social media, but thanks for doing that because that kind of brought me a little closer to my favorite place. And you guys did great. Super proud of you. And I guess Star Wars racers are now up because we don't have to worry about Disneyland anymore. So you're up in April, Star Wars racers. So good luck for that. Keep up the great training. And I just wanted to thank you all for that. Another thing, I know that I posted on social media earlier over the weekend. Mallory is raising money for the American Heart Association. Just want to send a huge shout out to those folks who donated to her fundraiser. She really wants to make a difference. She's being socially minded. That all of a sudden, she really wants to make a big splash with the American Heart Association Hoops for Hearts. Or Hoops for Heart. So I know a lot of our listeners did donate there, so thank you sincerely for that. And finally, shout out to the guys Matt and Nate over at Wedway Radio. I just listened to the latest episode, and if you haven't downloaded it, go check it out. They're great buddies. And they're going to have a year-long celebration, that's the way I'm looking at it, of Wedway Radio and all the shows they've wanted to get to over the years. Now they're going to do it. And we're going to get lots of Wedway Radio here in 2018. So just they're one of my favorite podcasts out there, Disney or otherwise. Love listening to their take on Disney history, the Disney parks. Like listening to Matt and Kevin over on the 3028. They're great friends and just huge Disney fans. And they do it right. So I know that they're going to have a big year here in 2018, moving into 2019. So if you haven't checked out Wedway Radio, I should say now's the time. You know, if you become a fan now, if you haven't downloaded the show, don't want to give away too much. But go check it out. They're great guys and even better podcast. So check them out and we'll talk to them soon. So let's get to the questions. That's why you're here. Thanks for indulging me there. First question comes from Stacy Nyman up in Chicago. Hey, guys, Disneyland ticket question. The Nymans are planning to drive cross country to Chicago in June of 2019 and make the pilgrimage to Disneyland. I know the planning and booking is very different between Walt Disney World and Disneyland. With ticket price increases fresh on my mind, I've been thinking about how to save money on that trip. Would it be smart to start buying tickets now, slowly, there are six of us, before next year's increase, or is it similar to Walt Disney World, where buying as a package deal is often better than in the long run? Thanks, everyone. Stacy. All right, Pam, so what advice can you give Stacy? You know, they're going still 2019 in the summer, so we still have over a year away. But what can you say as far as trying to save money? Because they're a larger family, and I totally get that.
So here's my advice to so many people. When you have something like this, when you're thinking about, should I buy now? Should I buy later? How do I save money for this? Whatever. I think instead of buying tickets, which are absolutely non-refundable after you purchase them, you are so much better off in buying Disney gift cards that you can apply toward either a package or tickets at that point. You really kind of leave your options open. And I love that for so many reasons. I know that everyone really gets wrapped up in the pricing of tickets and they're like, where can I find the best deal? Where can I whatever? And no matter where you look, if it's a legitimate source, you're really not going to find much of a savings on tickets. It may be 10, it may be 15, it may be at most like $20 per ticket. And that's really going to be it. This is for Walt Disney World and Disneyland. Disneyland has even less discounts on tickets, just FYI for that. But the problem with that is if you buy tickets that are outside of a package, and let's say you have to cancel, you have to delay, you have to do any of those things, those tickets are non-refundable. In addition, both Disneyland and Walt Disney World tickets expire at this point. Now, when you say expire, you don't lose all of your money, but what you get is the ticket expires and you get what you paid as a credit towards the new pricing, whatever that may be at that point. So there's really no buying tickets and holding on to them for years and years like you may have in the past. And there's just too many unknowns in terms of travel. You may be missing out on a great deal because, you know, the great deals sometimes require you to buy a package that includes tickets like free dining. So my solution to this is, like I mentioned, to buy Disney gift cards, and then you kind of cover all your bases. You're saving your money, and they're flexible. They can be used to buy tickets. They can also be used to buy vacation packages.
That's right. And with this being a Disneyland trip, I mean, you still want to have that option available to get all discounts, package or room plus tickets. So, yeah, like Pam said, if you're looking to just squirrel away the money, Disney gift cards go everywhere. So, and you're not out anything. You know, you can use them. Say you decide, well, for some reason, we don't want to go to Disneyland. We're going to go to Walt Disney World. Nothing lost there. So that's what I would do. All right. Here's a really interesting question. I love this one. It's from Bob. And he says, while at Disney World's 15th anniversary, my wife and I won a free golden ticket to Disney World, but only the two parks that existed at that time. It is a beautiful memento that we want to keep. If we try to use it, would we get it back or would the park take it? And I don't know. He didn't say where he's from. So, Ricky, what's your best? This is a best guess kind of thing. And what I would do is go to guest services outside the gates and ask this question and tell them exactly what you just said. We don't want to lose this as a memento, but we do want the value out of it because we won the prize. But, Ricky, I mean, do you think they would take this? Because I guess it really is like a physical golden ticket, which sounds awesome. I would keep it totally.
That does sound awesome. Yeah, I don't know. If I were to assume, they might take it. Or at least they're going to mark on it to prove that you've used it, that kind of thing.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind a mark on it, but I just want to keep it. You know, that's cool.
Yeah.
What's that, 25 years ago now? No, almost. Yeah. 35 years ago now. Wow.
Yeah.
Crazy.
That's awesome, though. That's really cool.
I'd like to see a picture of it. I hope you post it to social media somewhere. Oh, I guess you can, you know, like blur out the stuff that people might try to steal. Pam, what do you think about that? I mean, that's definitely a memento to keep. I mean, I would say the value in it's more in keeping it rather than redeeming it at this point. But I mean, if you could do both, that's great.
Yeah, I think actually when you use old ticket media that can't be converted to the new My Disney experience, I think that they may actually take it. Because they don't really have, it used to be, so this is way back in ye olden times, they would take your ticket from you and actually stamp the date on that you used it. And I doubt they even have, you know, stamps or I don't know. Do they have stamps that they even use for that anymore? I don't know that they do. And that's why I think they actually do take it. But I don't know for sure. But you know, if you could call, there is a ticket helpline. And I don't have the number on me right now, but you could Google that and then look that up. And I think that would be a good way to get a firm answer or semi-firm.
Yeah, I hate to say this, but I mean, if you're really looking to get the value out of it, I mean, I would say now if you confirmed that they were going to take the ticket, you could no longer keep the physical ticket as a memento. You could probably get more on eBay for that as like an auction item, as you know, a piece of Disney history
than the value of the ticket too. But yes, you probably could.
You got to think outside the box. I mean, you know, there are some collectors who would probably pay dearly to have that, you know, ticket because they just because you could frame that sucker and it'd be really cool. So just something to think about. All right. Robin's up next. Hi, Mike, Ricky and Pam. I have a question. Y'all may not be able to answer with cold, hard facts, but based on history and past experiences, I'm wondering if you have any idea when Walt Disney World will do previews for Toy Story Land, cast members and APs alike. I love the podcast. Thanks for all you do, Robin. All right, Ricky. So the best of, you know, and I've had this question too from some of my guests, and the last time we had something open like Toy Story Land is Pandora over Disney's Animal Kingdom. And for that, we did have annual pass holder previews. We also had DVC previews and I think that's and cast member previews. So we're guessing it's going to happen the same. I mean, we obviously don't know, but what's your best guess on that?
I think it'll depend on a lot of variables. And right now we're not quite there as to seeing how those variables are going to play out. I think from what I can tell, they might be behind in construction. Of course, you never know what their initial thought process was on when they were wanting to open this, land. So, but from what I've seen from, you know, aerial shots that I've seen online lately, it doesn't look like it's quite ready. I mean, obviously you would expect that, with the date of June 30th. You know, it's going to be kind of I don't know if they're going to have previews. I mean, like you said, they did have previews with Pandora. Those were the annual pass holder previews were about 2 weeks before. And it was, kind of an interesting process how that whole thing worked, too. It was done basically by email or you know, so that's kind of how that works. And then they had, I think, cast member previews like a week before that. So, you know, I would say if you're expecting on previews, expect, you know, potentially maybe 2 weeks before. But that, you know, and I don't think when Pandora did it, they didn't even do it every day at first either. It was, well, maybe they did. Yeah, I think they did. In that 2 week time period. But yeah, it's, I would expect maybe 2 weeks before you might see previews, and it might be annual pass holder only. So that might not be everybody.
Yeah. What I always say with things like this is don't expect it. And if it happens, get excited. If you fall into one of those categories, AP holder, cast member, DVC member, stuff like that, you know, if it happens, be excited for it. But again, I think that this one, like you, I think you mentioned this, Ricky, is like, I think they're up against it as far as construction a little bit tighter than even Pandora, because they've right. announced the date and they really, you know, they got to hustle to get it done. I don't know if they're going to have a 2-3 week buffer on this. I don't know. Maybe. Who knows?
Right. And the other thing to think about is, you know, with Pandora, you had a ride system that definitely needed to be tested a lot with, you know, because obviously, you know, Flight of Passage is unlike anything we've seen before, really, in a way. With, you know, Slinky Dog Dash and Alien Swirling Saucers, those are both two things that are things at other parks, basically. You know, I mean, Slinky Dog Dash is just a coaster, and then Alien Swirling Saucers is just like Mater's Junkyard Jamboree. So, like, it's things that they already have in place, so they kind of know how those things work already. So they may not need much of a test and adjust period with that either. They'll need a little bit, but they may not need as much as they would have needed as they needed with Pandora.
Great point. All right, Rachel's got the next question. Hello, I hope you all are great. I have a strange question. We love those kind. Most people want the shortest travel time, but I'm looking for something a bit different. My girls absolutely love the monorail. We plan to spend a couple hours in Disney Springs. We would like to leave Disney Springs and go to our Whispering Canyon Cafe dinner reservation. Yes, common sense says just catch the bus to Wilderness Lodge, but we would like to ride the monorail and a boat. So we were thinking to take a bus to Epcot, then monorail to the Magic Kingdom, then boat to Wilderness Lodge. Or, of course, no buses go from Disney Springs to the theme parks. So what's the best way to do this? The monorail is a ride, at least according to my children it is. Thanks, Rachel. And Rachel, I totally agree, the monorail is an attraction. That is, I've always thought that ever since I went when I was that one day in fifth grade, the monorail is probably the coolest thing I did all day, and I went to the Magic Kingdom. And I still think that. I think Disney transportation is, it's attractions in itself. I mean, you may not be like through a ticketed, inside of a ticketed theme park, but definitely riding a boat, a monorail, you know, stuff like that. Awesome stuff. So I agree with your kids, and I totally would do this. So Pam, you're getting from Disney Springs. Is she on the right track to go to take a bus to Epcot monorail? Cause that's the longest beam going from Epcot to the Magic Kingdom. I would do that.
Yeah, it absolutely is the longest beam. And I think it's really kind of a cool and relaxing ride when you take that too. I really like it. The other thing you can do is go ahead and take a bus over to the Magic Kingdom, which should be, well, you have to be leaving after a certain time. But then you can take the monorail over to the Contemporary, which is not going to be a very long ride at all. But there's also boat transportations from the Contemporary over to the Wilderness Lodge. So I wanted to make sure you knew about that as well. My husband, who doesn't typically like transportation, likes the boats too. He does like the monorail, and he likes the boats as well. For some reason, boat and monorail transportation is a different world than bus transportation, I guess. So
yes,
that's so awesome. Yeah, and I totally get that. That's what you need to do. That's awesome. So have fun, Rachel. I like that. All right, Christina's up next. Hi, Mike, Ricky, and Pam. My family and I are traveling to Disney World this coming April. Thanks to Mike for helping us book our vacation. Well, thank you, Christina. I appreciate that. We're visiting Universal for the first half of our trip and Disney for the second half. Much to my surprise, my sister was booking a trip for her family at the same time I was booking our trip. And we have booked pretty much the same vacation, except backwards. While we are at Universal, they'll be at Disney. And while we're at Disney, they'll be at Universal. Sounds like they need, to talk a little more, maybe text a few times. I don't know. No, it's just kidding. So at least, you know what, they have both parks covered at all times, you know, within the family.
Yes.
Like, they can give tips. Well, hey, man, this is what changed over at Universal. Well, you need to do this at Disney. We just did it. Anyway, I'm just saying, text each other. We do have one window of crossover time, so we're thinking about getting together for dinner that night at Disney Springs. I already booked a dinner reservation for homecoming for just my family of four, but I'm thinking of seeing if I can add on 5 more people for that night's dinner reservation. I have 2 things that I'm hoping you can help me with. I'm hoping she says she needs somebody to come down and meet them to eat the chicken and donuts. Maybe she'll say that.
Maybe.
I can help you there, Christina. I definitely can. Do you think Homecoming is a good location for a party of nine? Didn't there used to be a TV show, Party of Nine? Party of... Yeah, it did, didn't
Party
it?
Party of Five.
Anyway, yeah, dude, you had like a popular song by the Bodines.
Party of Five.
Anyway, who cares? Okay, so Party of Nine. Ricky, do you stamp that? Is it a good place for a party of nine?
Yes.
It's a party of two, party of 19. It's a good place for however many you cram in. It's so good.
Exactly.
Anyway, okay. Perfect. Second question. After dinner, do you have any recommendations for what some good things to do over at Disney Springs would be? None of us have ever been there, and some of the group are not really into shopping. I feel you there. Are there things to do beyond shopping? The kids' ages will be 6, 7, 8, 11, and 15. Thanks in advance for any suggestions you may have, and thank you so much for all the great podcasts. I love your positive attitudes and love listening. Christina's in Shrewsbury, Massachusetts. Oh, and speaking of positive attitudes, thank you guys for letting us vent last Friday. We had a good time with that. It was a rough day that Monday we recorded. We got all kinds of great feedback on where not to stand in line, how we're a little perturbed about things. So thanks for hanging in there. We're back to being positive today. It's all good. It's all good. All right, Pam, 6, 7, 8, 11, and 15. They're not into shopping. What else can be done at Disney Springs?
Well, first of all, I think that Disney Springs is just a really cool place to walk around, especially in the evening. It's actually one of my favorite places now. It's just so alive. There's musicians playing at different times and different kinds of performances. But the lights on those newly created areas are just awesome. And I just, you know, I really enjoy the space. I think it's just kind of a cool location. But if you don't want to shop, you don't have to. No one's going to force you. There are some benches for people watching, and I think that's always fair game, you know, in a Disney location. I also think that there's lots of places where you can stop and get, like, snack or dessert. I'm just saying, I understand you're going out to eat, but there's always room for cupcakes. I'm just going to say, there's yes. always room for cupcakes. And other kind of dessert things. So, I mean, you know, head over to Sprinkles, try one of those cupcakes, or you can go over to Amorette's. Hello, little French pastries. I'm just saying. And other things like that. But if you're going in the evening, definitely check out many of the performers that will be in the area. It's just awesome. I don't think there's really like a big schedule for those on the Disney app or anything, but in the evening, there's always some performances going on.
Yeah, it's one of the things I really like about the new Disney Springs now is that they are killing it with live performances. Like there's always something going on. You know, you might not see like what, like I love the dude playing the didridgeridoo. What's that thing called? The guy, the thing from Survivor. The
didgeridoo. Yeah, right.
I love that thing. Like, I'm like, where do you get to see that ever? Like, we don't have those. Like, you can go to a diridgeridoo concert here in St. Louis, but like when that guy's playing, man, I stop. Like, I bet you Brian stopped, Ricky. Just Brian's, that's a Brian thing, right? Tell me he wouldn't stop for that guy. He would totally stop for the diridgeridoo.
I think he'd stop for the diridgeridoo, yes.
Diridgeridoo, whatever it is. He would totally stop for that. I could totally see Brian like as a rock. So I'm like, you got it. It does. But you know, like there's always something going on there. Here's the thing I will say about shopping too. And I understand those kids that age. And I don't like shopping. I'll admit that. Like, I hate going to West County Mall or whatever we have here in St. Louis. Like, I just don't take me to the mall. Mid Rivers, whatever. But at Disney, there are such unique stores. The kids are going to enjoy just browsing through the Lego store. They're going to enjoy World of Disney. Well, if it's open, you know, like the little parts of it aren't. But right now it's kind of under refurb. But you have places like even like Uniqlo. Like, that is such a weird shop that I... For some reason, like, I'm drawn to the place, and it's because, A, it's kind of cheap. Like, the stuff's like Old Navy prices, which I love, but there's really unique Disney stuff, and you maybe even, you know, I can even afford to buy a couple shirts for the family there, you know, so it's all good, you know? So even if you don't like shopping, it's kind of fun just to go through those kind of unique stores that are there. Even Basin. Like, I like going in there with the girls. They like those bath bombs and all that stuff, but it just smells good. And I go to the middle of the store, and I do my hand, whatever that's called. I make my hand soft. With the samples. I learned that from Steve. That Steve had us all get smooth hands.
That's right.
Anyway, that was such a weird day. All right, Ricky, any other suggestions for Disney Springs with the kids and the family here?
Oh, my goodness. So one thing that I think is kind of interesting that you might want to consider is – The world of Coke, you can actually meet the polar bear, and you can also do the different Coke cola samples from around the different countries. I think that that's kind of a unique thing to do, maybe as a group family type situation. You know, like you said, there are so many unique shops. I was thinking, you know, the Lego store for sure. Pam was right on the money with Amaretz. I think not only do they have like the French pastries, but they have like little bitty cakes that you could totally share amongst the group. You may want to get a couple of cakes with that size group, but I think that that's a good choice too. And there's just really something about the atmosphere of just walking around Disney Springs. You know, not, I don't even have to be doing anything necessarily, but the atmosphere is so cool. Like you said, there's so many things, entertainment wise that you can do too, that you can just come across and see and just relax. It'll be a good time. Enjoy time with your family together, because you're going to have the opportunity to be together.
Oh, for and too, you know what? Also, you know, think about this. You know, that those kids are perfect age. Get a lane at Splitsville. Get a couple lanes. Bowl game. That'd be fun.
Oh, yeah. That would be a good idea.
Get some Zappa. They have good food, too. They have, like, fries that are, I mean, I know it sounds weird to say bowling lane fries, and they have sushi. I mean, they have crazy stuff, but it's good. It's good. But you won't need to eat after homecoming. I shouldn't say that. You'll be in pain. So just be ready for it. You need to walk it off is what you need to do. You just need to walk like 6 miles. That's after homecoming. You just got to walk that stuff off because you're dying. Anyway, Ricky's got the next question. Actually, Debbie has the next question, but it was forwarded from some other account. So it's a simple one. Ricky, this one's for you. Can I buy an annual pass now but not activate it till late 2019? That's from Debbie. What do you think? Can you hold on to it? Because yeah. What I do is I always get Magic Your Way passes and upgrade them. So I never buy like an annual pass per se.
Yeah, so what they'll do is they'll send you your voucher. They should send you the green voucher, and as long as you hold on to it and take it to the park when you to the ticket counter when you first go, you should be fine. Just don't lose that green voucher. Please don't lose the green voucher.
Yeah, I did have one of those. I remember way a long time ago, I bought one of those, and I remember like I was so nervous I was going to lose that thing. Like I put it in my underwear drawer. I mean, I can't get lost. You know, like I figured if I'm going to get robbed, I'm probably not going to get robbed out of, you know, if they're going to come get my laptop, my computer, whatever else in the house. Probably not going in there. So I put that thing away because I knew it was like, you know, it's like cash. You don't want to lose it. So,
no.
I was just wondering though, the tickets now do expire. I was wondering if the annual, I know that the regular Magic Your Way tickets do expire. I was wondering if the annual pass does too.
Maybe you would have to pay the difference in price in 2019.
That's what I'm saying. Because the tickets, if you bought a Magic Your Way ticket right now, it would expire at the end of this year. Or next year.
Yeah. So, I mean, the thing is, like, worst case, you would just have to pay the difference in price, and you've got 97% of it paid for, and you pay, like, 30 bucks. But anyway. All right. Good question, though. Good stuff. I'll look into that. Because, like I said, I never buy an annual pass straight away, so I feel like I'm British there straight away.
Straight away.
That was pretty good. Malcolm's going to enjoy that. All right. Jamie's got the next question about dining with an Imagineer. Dear Mike, Ricky, and Pam, we're traveling to the world in August of this year, and the must-do for my daughter, Jocelyn, who's 11, is to dine with an Imagineer. She tells everyone she wants to be an Imagineer when she grows up and can't wait to ask questions of a real live Imagineer. I was just looking into booking this dinner when I saw the ages for this are 14 and up. By then, she'll be close to 12, but definitely not 14. Can you tell me if this is a hard and fast rule or just a suggestion? As in, if we booked it for my husband and myself, my husband wasn't able to come across or come at the last minute, I brought my daughter instead. Also, do you think that even though she is very interested in doing this as a career, she might be bored? If she can go, do you recommend Brown Derby or Citrico's? Thanks for any light you can shed on this. All right, Pam, what are your thoughts? Because we always say, and I mean, this is kind of just common sense, you know, there's a rule there for a reason when Disney puts it out there because they have had experience with this for years and years and years. They're not only guaranteeing the experience for the guest that's booking it, but they're also guaranteeing the guests for those that have booked it that may be at that table with that family. And, you know, I'm not saying that your daughter's not going to have a good time and she really wants to be an Imagineer, but this is, in my opinion, and I know not everybody gets to go every year, I get that, but the rule's there for a reason. I would say don't book it unless they meet the criteria.
Yeah, that's it. There are very few things at Disney destinations that you can't take children under a certain age to, and this just happens to be one of those things. So I believe for most of those things that when there's a hard and fast rule, they actually do enforce those rules. So unfortunately, you won't be able to do that, but it is something to look forward to in a couple of years. And I think that kind of thing is cool that you're able to be like, okay, this is awesome that, you know, hear it's something that we'll do in the next couple of years when we go there. So anyways,
you know, I'll share a story because, you know, Mallory's about the same age, it sounds like. And, you know, Mallory's 10 and I've told her about, you know, some of the cool stuff I've gotten to do at Walt Disney World. I've done the steam trains tour. I've done Marceline to the Magic Kingdom. But the one I always talk about, it's my favorite, is Keys to the Kingdom. You know, getting to go into the Utilidors and back door and into, you know, Haunted Mansion and so forth. It was just a really, really cool tour. And the, I think the age requirement for that one is 14, if I'm not mistaken. And so what Mallory has said that for her 14th birthday, she really wants to go down, just her and I together, and we're going to do that tour on that trip. So that's something even, you know, 5 years, you know, a year ago, so she's got 5 years leeway that we've talked about and we're actually looking forward to, is that when she's 14, that's something we're going to do together. So that's kind of, you know, that's how we're approaching a situation like this.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
All righty. Jennifer's up next. His girls' trip to Walt Disney World in September of 2018. Mike, Pam, and Ricky. My name is Jen, and I live in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 0 miles from Pam. She's in the house. Look out. It's coming from the house. The
I'm
email's coming
at my phone
from the house.
Right now.
Yeah, look over
so
your shoulder.
She's calling from in the house.
Exactly. Hey, Jen. She's right over your shoulder. Don't look. Don't look. Don't make eye contact. I'm currently planning a trip to the world in September of this year with my two best friends. We're all 27 years old, and while I'm a crazy Disney fanatic of the group, I've been there 22 times. The other two have only been there once or twice, and not since they were little kids. So I want to make this trip perfect for them. My question is this. As of now, we are planning to stay at the yacht or beach club for the first 4 nights of our trip, but I'm wondering if it would be worth it to do a split stay with the Polynesian. I'm not sure if it's worth it to switch resorts in such a short stay. We'll be visiting the Magic Kingdom in Epcot, food and wine, during our trip, so I was thinking of maybe staying at the Poly during the portion of our trip that will be at the Magic Kingdom, so we have easy access with the monorail and then the yacht or beach for the portion that will be at Epcot. I've done split stays several times in past visits, and I think they're a great way to experience more than one resort, especially for my two friends, but I wanted to get your guys' thoughts since it's such a short trip. We are planning to do Ohana and Trader Sam's, so even if we don't do the split stay, we'll at least be visiting that resort. Thanks so much for all you do. Been a fan of the show for a long time, and it always helps keep the magic alive when I'm not done at Walt Disney World. Jen from Pam's house. No, just she didn't say that. All right, so let me, because Pam, I know you're a huge advocate of split stays, and it's a shorter trip. Like you said, I think it's 4 nights. Ricky, would you do that? I mean, I say yes. What say you?
If it's something that they think that they really want to do, I say yes. I think it would be a fantastic idea, especially the way they have their trip kind of split up. I think it would be a great idea. Plus, I mean, there's something so nice if they plan on spending time at like Trader Sam's and stuff like that. There's something so nice about just walking back to your room. So I'm going to go with yes. I think that would be a good choice.
And I would say, you know, she's done it before, so she knows kind of how the process works. And the thing about a split stay, this is what I love about a split stay, even on a shorter trip. It's almost like having too many vacations in one. Like while you're at the beach club, you're having a great time. You're going to food and wine. What, you know, you're having a blast there and you're walking in and out and it's just awesome. The International Gateway is great for that. But when you get to the Polynesian, it's like almost vacation has started over again. You know, you get that anticipation of where's my new room going to be? You know, oh, we can walk down to Trader Sam's now. Oh, Ohana, I can stuff myself silly and I can just kind of roll back to the room. I don't even have to get on anything. I'm just, my room's in this hotel. I don't know. That I think it makes sense in the Magic Kingdom's a hop, skip, and a jump away. So, Pam, do you third this for us?
I absolutely do. You know, I am the split stay queen. In fact, that should be my title, split stay queen, because I think almost every trip I go on, we do a split stay. And it's mostly because I love the Disney destination hotels so much. I love them at Disney World, love them at Disneyland. I've even done them over in Disneyland Paris. There's nothing like staying at a Disney resort hotel. So I think it's worth it, and it absolutely will give you a different experience.
All right, Ben's up next. WDW Infant Question is the title of his email. Hey, Mike, Ricky, and Pam, thanks for putting on an entertaining and informative show every week. My wife and I are DVC members and have been going to Walt Disney World one or two times every year for the past 8 years. We are planning to potentially go in September, but this time we'll be taking our then 7-month-old son. This will be our first time taking him to the world. Any suggestions or tips? Thanks, Ben's in Delaware. All right, Ben, so first of all, let me just tell you, it's going to be different. But here's the thing. 7 months old, that I've said this on the show for years. When we took Mallory at 6 months that summer, because she was born in January, that was one of the very easiest trips we had for like the next Oh, well, how old is she now? 10? For like the last 10 years. Because it's like, you know, you got to take the considerations and you bring a lot of junk. You bring the bottles, you bring the formula, you bring the diapers. I mean, there's a lot of stuff to bring. However, they don't have opinions. They're not mobile. You just got to keep them on their schedule, feed them. And they can, a lot of times, Mallory slept a lot in the stroller. We did invest in a, even at 6 months old, I think we invested in what was called like a McLaren stroller. I remember I researched strollers more than I researched for the car that we bought. You know, like I read reviews and I wanted to make sure I could get it on the buses because you see the guys and the gals that you know, have like the limousine strollers that are awesome when they're in the parks. Like, dude, that thing holds like 7 kids and it's got like 6 cup holders. It's got Wi-Fi, you know, it's got off-road tires. You know, if you would ever need those, I don't know why you would. Those strollers are awesome. But then you see the dad, like when the bus rolls up and they're like, oh, dude, how do I fold this thing down? Even when they fold it down, it's the size of like a Volkswagen, you know, so you got to be smart about it and do research. Get a good stroller. You'll be using it for years. And the McLaren one we had was awesome. Not that I'm plugging them, but it worked out great. It was light. It was a fold-up umbrella stroller, but it was high quality, and it fit our needs. But just things like that. So, you know, just think about any necessity you need and really start planning on what you're going to bring. But once you're there, as long as you keep them on schedule, feed them, use the baby centers. That was a huge thing. Great place to get away. It's quiet. It's cool. I don't know. What else have you learned over the years, Pam? That was kind of my biggest thing.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just the thing that goes on when you take your kids is always try to keep them on their schedule. I think that that's my biggest piece of advice. I know that there's a lot of equipment that you have to bring with you and strollers and all that. But regardless of the equipment that I may bring, I have to keep, you know, my child, my husband on his schedule, right? You got to eat when you typically eat. Don't let anyone get hangry. If there are things that people need to sleep, be it a special pillow, a special blanket, something like that, I think that's always important to bring with you. Again, this goes for adults and children. If you wanted to look at, if there's a particular food that you know that may not be available, I would try to bring that as well. But I think really just making sure that you have things that people are familiar with is the most important.
I'll be honest, it's got to be way easier now 10 years later because you do have things like Amazon Prime Now and even Amazon Prime that can deliver, you know, these perishable, not perishables, but like your diapers. You know, like you could get those delivered. You don't have to travel with those. You could, you know, if you got a comment, you know, even just get some bottles, you know what I'm saying? Like instead of carrying them down, get them delivered to your hotel, use them and trash them. You know what I'm saying? Is it worth messing with that kind of stuff? It's an option, you know, so I would look into things like that because we always drove down at those times. And I know that we did have to drive to Target, you know, because like you forget something every time. But what I would say, too, is up front, don't put yourself in a panic saying, oh, my gosh, did I forget something? Because nowadays it's so easy to get things like that. And it's not like you can't buy it in Orlando. Orlando has anything your hometown has. I've learned that over the years. Like I used to freak out about packing. Like, what did I forget? You know, when I get there, I can go buy it. You know, like they have it. There's other people there. You know, I think some people, I always stressed out about that. And I've learned if I forgot contact solution, guess what? They probably have contact solution in Orlando somewhere. You know, like I can get it. So
it's true.
It's all fun. All right. Last question of the day. This one's from Nicole. So get ready, Ricky. This one's for you. It says, hello. Love the podcast. My name's Nicole. I live in Salt Lake City, Utah, about 1,845 miles from Pam. So she's definitely not in the house.
She's out skiing. I feel good about that.
She's probably skiing right now. I'm planning a trip with family for the first week of October. This will be my third time to Walt Disney World. First trip for my 2-year-old daughter. She's been to Disneyland twice already. She knows all about Disney and does great on all the rides that she can go on. We're debating on staying at Pop Century or staying at Port Orleans French Quarter. If we stay at Pop, we could get the Disney dining plan included for the same price as staying at French Quarter with no dining plan. We've never been on the dining plan, but we're thinking it would be something that we would like because we usually plan our days out depending on where we're eating. A lot of us do that. All the times we've been to Walt Disney World, it's never been a festival time at Epcot, so we're excited to experience all the food and drinks and wanted to make sure we could use snack credits at the booths for Epcot's food and wine. We've only stayed at Art of Animation on our previous trips. Wanted to get your opinion on what would be the best option. One last question. If a free dining plan becomes available for the dates I'm going, does it bring down the price of my package if I already purchased the dining plan? Thanks for bringing a little bit of Disney magic to my boring accounting job during the week. Well, hey, Nicole, we love it. Crunch those numbers and listen to the show. So I'm going to give my opinion real quick. And as we're wrapping up today, we'll give quick opinions here. First of all, yes, if you get the free dining plan, you're already paying for dining. They would deduct that from your final payment amount. So that's always a kind of a ka-ching there. I love sending those emails to my guests here at the Magic for Less. In these two situations, because of what you have told us, I would go Pop Century about the dining plan, because by October, you're going to have a really good chance at a new updated room. Those rooms are awesome. You're comfortable with Art of Animation. Pop Century is kind of in that same boat, you know, same area, same kind of room types. I love Pop Century, and having the dining plan for about the same price, I would do it in this one, and then next time look at French Quarter. So, Ricky, what say you to the situation? French Quarter, no dining plan, Pop Century with the dining plan.
I was going to say the same thing. I think because of the way that she described how she was planning on vacationing, I think that Pop Century with the dining plan is going to be the better option for them. Yes, obviously, she can use the credits for the snack credits for the festival, so that's good. So, I mean, I think it's a no-brainer. I would totally look into, you know, as long as she's cool with Santa Pop, I would totally look into to doing that way.
Yep. So I don't want to dive into the free dining thing, because as soon as you say those two words together, it just gets like out of control.
But frenzy, yes.
From the past, remember that a value resort would typically, because it's called tiered free dining, a value resort would typically get the quick service dining plan. You can upgrade for a nominal fee. I don't know what that means. Nominal fee up to the standard dining plan. It's not much. And so then you're set there. But of course, the moderates and deluxes typically come with the standard dining plan. So, Pam, what say you to this final situation here?
That I tend to agree. I think I would actually stick with Pop and get that with the dining plan. I think that it is, I think it actually makes for a more inclusive vacation, a vacation that has a little less stress. I just really do. You know, we've talked about Disney dining plans and how to use them on the podcast recently here, and particularly have talked about how you can really save money, especially in 2018 when, hello, you're getting an alcoholic drink with both your quick service and your table service meals. And that can be, you know, a big selling point. In addition to the alcoholic drink, you can also get a lot of specialty non-alcoholic drinks like smoothies and fancy milkshakes and, you know, all kinds of stuff like that. So it really is a money saver. And then we also mentioned, you know, if you're going during one of Epcot's 325 festivals, that you can save tons of money by using the Disney dining plan, because guess what? Your snack credits are available to use at most booths for most of the snacks there, except for alcoholic drinks. So when we're talking about snacks that could range, you know, in price from $5 to $10, that's a huge use of snacks and a great way to get some of your money back on that. So consider that. I just think that the dining plan makes for a vacation that most guests are more happy with. We have people when they travel with the dining plan, they come back and they love having done it. So just keep that in mind.
Agreed. And she's traveling with a 2-year-old daughter. You may need a drink from time to time. Been there. Yes. Been there.
It can happen.
It will happen. I mean, even if you don't drink, you may consider it. I'm just saying. Walt Disney World brings out the best and the worst sometimes. That's what I tell my friends. You know, it's like, it's awesome. You know, it's like you see people like getting engaged. You see people just happy. You know, you see adults acting like kids. And then you see people freaking out. I mean, it's how it is. It brings out the emotional gamut at the Walt Disney World. So anyway, all right, that's it for today. Send in more questions, mike@brguestpodcast.com. Thank you to everybody who sent those in today. Really appreciate that. We're brought to you today by Theme Park News Disney Edition, another great free, mark the free, the price is right, free iOS app for your Apple device over at virtualmickey.com. Ricky, what are we reading about on Theme Park News Disney Edition this week? What's happening?
I think that there may have been some big news in regards to the Be Our Guest restaurant. So for those who don't know or weren't paying attention,
our animatronics are going in.
Yes.
You all have been waiting patiently.
Yes,
I'm there. Yeah, I'm there in my running shorts and a lizard shirt. as you enter.
Yes, that's it. That's it.
Yoga pants and a t-shirt, and I'm sitting behind a desk.
Yeah, and I obviously have on a dress, and I'm just looking frazzled. But anyway, no, unfortunately, that is not the big news. The big news is that the Magic Kingdom's fantastic restaurant is going to now offer a prefixed dinner menu, including a three-course dining experience, which includes a choice of appetizer and entree, followed by a personal dessert platter. It is going to be available beginning July 27th. Pricing is $55 for adults, $35 for children, or it is now 2 Disney Dining Plan credits. So moving past that, January or July 27th date. So, or on that date and beyond. But anyway, so just keep that in mind, that it is moving to only a dinner to Disney Dining Plan credit restaurant. So lunch and breakfast are not affected by these changes.
I've always been shocked that it wasn't 2 credits already. Forever. But, anyway, I hate to see stuff go up. But now, I will say something I learned from your article that you wrote about that. As soon as it broke, Ricky, I know that you're out there breaking the news like you do. Ricky breaks the news. Here's a Missouri thing. You'll appreciate this. When people talk about, prefixed, dinner, I thought it was just, P-R-E and then F-I-X-E-D, prefix. But, you had some kind of fancy spelling of that. I didn't know. I learned something that when I read your article.
Oh, you're cute. That's how that's actually spelled. Yeah, P-R-I-X-F-I-X-E.
I was like, that's a fancy thing. I was like, wow, what's that? That's just me, though. I got a master's degree in candy. Exactly. I was like, is this so themed? Like, it's the Be Our Guest restaurant that now she's writing in French?
Dear, that's actually how it's spelled.
Anyway, you want to read French? Go there today. Theme Park News Disney Edition. I'm telling you, we're wrapping up this ad. That's how you do it. So check it out today over at virtualmickey.com. Don't forget, follow us on social media for great stuff like this all week, every week. At Be Our Guest Mike on Instagram and Twitter. And, of course, the Facebook page. Ricky does a great job when she's at the Disney destination. She'll probably even try to sneak in some Universal stuff. I'll try to jump in there.
There'll be some Universal stuff on there this weekend. There'll be some Disney stuff, too, I promise.
Yeah, we'll let it fly. So check it out, facebook.com/BRGuestPodcast. It's almost like you're there. Anyway, so we're going to be back again on Friday, going back to our series, Trapped In. We're not telling you where just quite yet. So be there on Friday for that. But for Ricky and Pam, I'm Mike, wishing you a great Wednesday. Time to head back to work, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at BeOurGuestPodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.